Good morning, Hal.
Morning, Philip.
Thanks very much for joining me. Now, what are some of the most pressing issues that Berejiklian has inherited from the Baird government in terms of housing in Sydney?
Well, she's come to office at a time when the stress of the housing market is something which is so in your face that it's not possible. She's named it as one of her top three issues, and I think very rightly, because it's something that, you know, as a politician, even the politician whose main interest is simply the electoral consideration, can't ignore. But hopefully she's got also a broader perspective, because she's recently been, her latest previous stint as treasurer. And in that role, I think she will have been exposed to the recognition, I think, that housing isn't just a social issue, and the way that our housing system works, which is the flaws in it, the problems with it, that doesn't just cause a sort of a social welfare problem. It's also an economic problem, and tackling that, recognizing there are problems and tackling those, is part of making the city a more economically productive city as well, which I'm sure is also near the top of her agenda.
Well, before we get too much into what we can do to potentially fix housing, can you go a little bit more into what some of these economic blowbacks of housing are that people mightn't even realise?
Well, I think that one example is that the way that the hospitality industry, especially around the inner areas of Sydney, which is a big part of the economy, that industry, especially because it relies on a lot of lower income workers, is really in the firing line or under stress from the fact that the people it needs to hire and retain to do those jobs are really stressed nowadays in terms of being able to live anywhere near where they work. So hanging on to good staff or recruiting good staff is becoming more difficult for businesses in that sector. And that's something which means that for the workers concerned, they might be having to commute a very long way, for example, or they're having to put up with pretty unsatisfactory conditions, which are the only way they can afford to live anywhere near where they're working. So that's a component of the economic story which I think she needs to be aware of or take some time to address. But the bigger story is that the whole economy in the last maybe 10 years or so has been moving to one where jobs are more and more, the place where jobs are being created is much more is much nearer to the centre of our cities than maybe 20 or 30 years ago, and that's causing a lot of stress because of the fact that the availability of well-located affordable housing, housing that's affordable and it's relatively near to any of those inner areas, is becoming more and more scarce. So that's creating economic costs, like the cost of congestion, because the distances that people are now having to commute to take up those jobs that are being created, whilst they're being forced to live further and further away, and those are real costs. That's a drag on the national economy and on Sydney's economy.
Mm. Well, yeah, you mentioned that all of the work seems to be centred around right in the inner city. And I know you've spoken over the last few years about how annual job growth has been running at more than 2% in the city, but only 0.5% in Western Sydney. How is this sort of discrepancy affecting the housing market for wider Sydney?
Well, I think it's accentuating the trend that we've seen over maybe 20 or 30 years, where the cost of living in better located areas, and nowadays better located usually means more central, the way that the geography of jobs has changed is accentuating that that tendency for the inner and even the middle suburbs to pull away in terms of their land values and property prices from the outer areas. So it's making what was already a problem worse, and it's been pushing more and more lower income Sydneysiders into places further and further from amenities and employment, and that's the fraction of the population which is the least mobile. So that does have a serious social consequence. Having concentrations of poorer people tending to be in the outer and remote suburbs, and not as it historically was in the inner city, that's a worse place to be if you're the part of the population that is the least mobile, that has the lowest car ownership, and so it's more of a problem for you.
Mm, and of course, even if you do own a car, traffic in Sydney is all but unmanageable.
Yeah, and the huge infrastructure investment deficit, which I think has built up for a really long time, maybe 40 or 50 years, is only beginning to be addressed by state government. And Baird's government obviously staked some claims there, and certainly a very encouraging start was made to that. And, compared with 5 years ago, the number of the new program, the infrastructure programs that have been announced over that time, I mean, there's been a huge array of them, and that's a pipeline that stretches way into the future. But that's really only a start in catching up, and until a lot of that is delivered, and some of that isn't going to happen for 5, 10 years or even more, then the existing infrastructure is going to be under more and more pressure.
Mm. It's been a bit of doom and gloom thus far in our conversation. I suppose on the more positive side, of course, the report did come out yesterday, the annual survey of housing affordability around the world, which revealed that Sydney's housing is the second most expensive in the world after Hong Kong. Given that things are so dire, how should someone, or how should Berejiklian, look to trying to reform this?
Well, just in passing, I would note that that index that puts Sydney second in the world, I think is a little has some flaws. So I think Sydney's housing unaffordability is at a fairly extreme level, I'm not saying that it isn't a problem. I'm just saying that to argue that it's higher than London or New York, for example, maybe it isn't quite on that level, but it's certainly on a serious level, and it's on a trajectory for the worse. So, yeah, certainly an issue to be tackled. Some of the things that Berejiklian could do as state premier, she doesn't have all the levers in her control by any means. The sort of mantra of the development industry in the past has tended to be that there's a simple solution for housing affordability. All you need to do is create the conditions where house building increases or is maximized, and that's something which she herself, was in her role as treasurer, she's repeated that line, which I think is really misleading. It's definitely part of the mix to do what is suggested there, and that is something which is within the power of state and territory governments, not the federal level. So fair enough. It's something that needs to be given attention. But just doing that, no, that's not going to solve the problem, because the problem is partly a problem of demand, and the demand in the housing market isn't only made up by population growth, which is partly about migration. It's made up by the speculative demand, which comes partly, which is pumped up partly by key parts of the tax system. Unfortunately, parts of the tax system which are really where the levers are controlled at the federal level, not the state level. But the Premier's ministerial colleague, Rob Stokes, the planning minister, he called it right only a couple of months ago, when he really broke ranks with the liberal orthodoxy on this by saying, look, it isn't just a something that needs to be can be dealt with by more supply, things that I can do as planning minister. No, it's not just about that. It's about the way that demand is hyped up by the advantages that property investors get through the tax system that's controlled at the federal level. In particular, he can't remember whether he named them, but he's talking about negative gearing and capital gains tax concessions for landlord investors.
Mm, of course.
And the Baird gave him backing on that. So it's not there are cracks in the orthodoxy there, and that's something which I think as Premier Gladys should be able to stake her name to as well, and I think add to the lobby on the federal treasury that these things really have to be looked at. But in her own, in things which are, she certainly does have control over within the realm of planning, it's not only about the ability to release land or designate land for housing, which at the moment may not be available for that purpose, but also about the ways that the planning system can be used and definitely should be used to ensure that affordable rental housing is a part of all new housing developments. And that's a power which goes under the rather curious title of inclusionary zoning, which the Greater Sydney Commission, newly set up last year, has proposed state government that government uses its leverage to implement, so that between 5% and 10% is the level they've put it at of major new housing developments are required to be set aside for affordable rental housing. And that's a very positive move. And now that she's got the top job, I think it would be would be highly desirable if new Premier would make it clear that she's completely behind that, and at the moment it's just a proposal, that it's something that isn't going to be dropped, it's going to be pushed forward.
Mm. Well, we're only 2 days into her time as Premier, so hopefully all of these things will be able to happen over the next few years under Berejiklian. Hal, thanks so much.
Yeah, she's likely to be there for a while, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So, I think we would hope that she will build on what's there already. The advocacy lobby and academics like myself aren't suggesting that nothing was happening under the previous regime, that, you know, she needs to do that it's a standing start, or she's got to U-turn on lots of things. What was happening under Baird was modest, but it was encouraging, and she really needs to build on that.
Well, hopefully it can all happen in the coming future. Hal, thanks so much for joining me this morning to have a chat.
Pleasure. Thank you.